What I want to say first, Thelma, in terms of the response, is that we're very blessed in Kenya that this is a country with a considerable capacity to respond itself. We saw that in the three-year drought that we came out of between 2021 and 2023, when national and county government were very much on the front lines of that response, as they are today. And the Kenya Red Cross Society, very much on the front lines, as they are today. United Nations, our job is to support, to supplement, to help, and to respond directly. And so it's very much a partnership. I'm proud to say that from the perspective of the almost 80 partners that come together within our humanitarian family in Kenya, and there I'm talking about the United Nations entities like World Food Programme, UNICEF, World Health Organization, Refugee Agency, UNHCR, IOM, and so on, but also Kenya Red Cross and the many, many national and international NGOs that respond. So that totality of response. So about 160,000 people have been affected so far, and we've been able to support about 125,000 of those so far. You can imagine that the needs are quite multiform. But it means that amongst the kinds of support we've been giving, it ranges from shelter for those that have lost their houses, their homes, to food, to medicines, to cash, to blankets, to mosquito nets. It's quite a wide range of support. I think the concern is we know more rain is coming. And so we know that the needs are going to deepen before they get better.
The climate change is upon us. And is this the message that you see governments wanting to listen to and react to?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for recognizing that this is the climate emergency. During the drought, I used to say to international partners, if you have any constituents at home in your countries in Europe or in North America who still doubt that the climate emergency is real, they should send them to visit a farmer in Kenya who will tell you that the seasons are more unpredictable than they've ever been before. Extreme weather events are more recurrent, they last longer, they are more intense, and their frequency is going up. That was true of the drought. That's the most intense drought that has been known since written records started to be kept back in the colonial days. We're talking about, 150 years of records. Nearly 6 million people affected harshly by very deep food insecurity at the end of that drought. The irony and the tragedy is that we went straight from that drought into very intense flooding last year, October, November, December rains, that affected more than 500,000 people. It was almost 600,000 by the end of it. And already again, we're in this flash flooding. And even more dauntingly, some of the weather forecasts for the tail end of this year suggest we might be back into drought by the end of this year. So, Thelma, it's this whiplash between feast and famine, drought and flooding, that is, I think, the hallmark of what this climate emergency is all about. It is absolutely clear that that's what we're facing with this El Nino event. And so that's why I think we need to do a couple of things. The first, beyond providing this really, really critical life-saving support that is needed when you have a flash flood of this kind, we need to be investing in resilience programming, strengthening Kenya's and Kenyans' capacity to bounce back in the face of what is going to be accelerating challenge from the climate emergency in the coming decades. Unfortunately, there is no sign of people in the global north doing the responsible thing and curbing fossil fuel usage. We're not on target to remain within the 1.5 degree global warming target, and even that 1.5 degree is pretty calamitous. So we know that the climate emergency challenge for countries like Kenya is only going to deepen. And that means, in addition to doing life-saving support, you really need to focus on building this resilience, this adaptation to climate change and climate calamity. The good news is that works. We know that in Kenya government, national and county, and international and national partners collectively invested between 2011 and 2021 in an initiative called the Ending Drought Emergencies Initiative. And that was all about investing in different kinds of resilience programming, building up that capacity to resist and to bounce back. My slightly dark joke about this is that if you consider it as the Ending Drought Emergencies Initiative, perhaps we failed because we didn't end drought and we had a very bad drought beginning in 2021. If we had called it the Halving Drought Emergency Initiative, we'd have been cracking open the champagne. Why? We had a drought in 2011 with two failed rainy seasons. In 2021, at the beginning of the big drought, we had two failed rainy seasons. We had half the number of people in food insecurity at the tail end of 2021 as we had in 2011. And the difference was the resilience that collectively we'd managed to build. So that is our sign that that's what you need to invest in. And it's very concrete things. It's building water pans. If we could build water pans around the country to collect the rain that is there now.
Let me jump in and ask a question.
Yes, there. Of course.
What does the resilience look like?
So it has a lot of different components from the sort of the stratosphere to the ground. At the stratosphere, we really need to work on the architecture for improving resistance to disaster risk in Kenya. It's what we call disaster risk reduction. There's actually a piece of legislation, a bill going through the Kenyan Parliament right now to revamp, to overhaul the national disaster management architecture. We think that's a good thing to make it fit for 21st century purpose, to make it fit for climate emergency. That's the stratosphere. But right down on the ground, it's very concrete things. It's building water pans, which don't cost a lot of money, by the way, to capture the rain that's there now, so that then when drought returns, you have water. It's about progressing the move away from rain-fed agriculture to irrigation agriculture. It's about introducing drought-resistant crops that can work both for the agriculture sector and then also for livestock feed. But it's also about, as we've seen in the flooding, it's about improving drainage. It's about improving the capacity to respond. So there's many, many different pieces to it. We need a push on resilience. And actually, that's a discussion that we're having with international partners under the lead of His Excellency, the Deputy President of Kenya, who carries that portfolio for both relationship with international partners, but also focusing on emergency response. So I'm confident that we're going to have a good plan on how to boost resilience. What I'm less confident about is, are we going to be able to mobilize the financial resources? And that's a paradox, and it's a tragedy. It's a catch-22. It costs much, 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 much less money to build the capacity to prevent and to be resilient than it does to respond. We were spending nearly $300 million a year on the drought response by its climax in 2023. Imagine what you could do if you could put $300 million into resilience promotion. The sad thing is it doesn't work that way in this world. Emergencies tend to turn on the tap and people underinvest in prevention.